From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today. I am Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go right quick to the Liberty University Newsmaker line from the Trump 2020 campaign, our good friend Mark Lauder. Mark, it is a busy day for you guys out on the campaign trail.
It really is, Todd. I'm standing here in Miami where the vice president just took the stage moments ago. The president's on the stage in North Carolina, and we still have two more stops to go, and we'll all end up in Florida together tonight.
Yeah, that's right. The president speaking at this moment in Greenville, North Carolina, and we're going to get to the town hall meeting a little bit later on. But Mark, right now there is a firestorm of controversy surrounding Facebook and Twitter. The campaign has to be outraged over the censorship.
It's really remarkable. I mean, I have never seen something like this where, you know, where the presidential campaign, the official Twitter account of the presidential campaign, gets blocked 19 days before the election, or the personal account of the White House press secretary gets blocked, you know, 20 days before the election. I mean, this is really remarkable, and it's all because we're actually sharing news that the social media giants don't like because it doesn't look good on their candidate.
Yeah, Mark, and just FYI, it's not just the campaigns. We're one of the top four talk radio websites in America. Our traffic over the past week and a half down 75% because of Facebook and Twitter censorship. Clearly, they are targeting conservatives and specifically supporters of this president.
You know, and it really should just send a very strong message to everyone. And it doesn't matter whether you live in a red state, a blue state, or a swing state. Now's the time to be the silent majority no more. We've got to get out. We've got to make our voices heard. And we've got to do everything we can, because it just shows you that whether it's the liberal media, the swamp, or social media giants, they will do anything and everything to stop this president from being reelected.
They certainly will. Mark, of course, all of this surrounding this jaw-dropping story from the New York Post about Hunter Biden and the media literally turning a blind eye to this. I know Maggie Haberman from the New York Times, no friend of yours, but she actually shared this on Twitter, and she faced a wrath of outrage from fellow liberals. And you really do wonder, why aren't they calling out the vice president and demanding to see his financial records?
Well, and the fact of the matter is that they can't refute this. I mean, not even the Biden campaign is refuting the content of this. And it proves what we have known for a very long time, which is Hunter Biden was selling access to his father, who was vice president at the time, while he was in the office, whether it was Ukraine, whether it was China. We got wire transfers from the mayor, the wife of the mayor of Moscow. I mean, what was this all about? And then these emails confirm it. They confirmed that he was providing access, he was selling it, and then he was making the connections. And why did Joe Biden lie about it? Why did he lie repeatedly to the American people about it?
And again, you know, looking at this guy, Joe Biden's been in public service 47 years. He always reminds us of that when he can remember the dates. And yet here's a guy who's not making, what, more than $150,000 a year. And yet he is a multimillionaire. His son is a multimillionaire. Come on. This is nuts.
No, and I mean, it's what we've come to expect from the swamp. And Joe Biden is the poster child for the swamp. And we know it, whether it's Joe Biden's brothers, whether it's his, you know, whether it's his son, you know, whether it's his son-in-law. I mean, this is not a singular event. There are multiple examples where Joe Biden has taken photos, meetings with people who are doing business with his family members when they're not even qualified to do that business, and then posting it online, and he lies about it. I mean, that's the thing we've really got to get to. Why is he lying about it? You know, he lies about not telling us whether he wants to pack the courts or eliminate the filibuster, eliminate the Electoral College, all of these things. And then he lies to us about this as well, and we have the proof right in front of us.
Mark, I know you mentioned that you were in Miami. What's going on? I hear a lot of cheering and applauding, a hooting and hollering in the background.
Well, you've got the vice president speaking right now to a large group of folks, Hispanic, Latinos, Cubans, Venezuelan Americans, people from Honduras who all live here. And, you know, many of these folks here or their families fled socialism. They know what it looks like. And that's why there is such a huge groundswell of support for this president and standing up to what we see has become of the radicalized Democrat Party.
Boy, you're not kidding. And, you know, when I'm still not getting it. And I know that you guys at the campaign, you see the same thing we do. The massive crowds out there on land and by sea. You've got thousands and thousands of people coming out, Mark. And yet the mainstream media, and by the way, Rupert Murdoch, the Daily Beast is reporting that Rupert Murdoch, the Fox News channel, the owner of Fox News Channel, is predicting Biden's going to win in a landslide.
Well, you know, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary for most of, you know, the Acela corridor to think that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide. And you know what? Their polls were wrong in 2016. They're wrong again in 2020. I've been doing politics for a long time, Todd. And I used to be someone who always said, don't believe the yard signs, believe the polls. And I learned that lesson the other way in 2016. And I see the same thing out right now happening in 2020, but to an even larger scale. I mean, the fact is, and I think I joke about it, it's a joke, but I'm drawing bigger crowds than Joe Biden when I go out on a bus tour. I mean, what does that tell you? People are so excited and enthusiastic. I mean, Joe Biden couldn't fill a socially distanced Waffle House right now. And how they think that this is going to work for them against the army of Trump, the largest grassroots campaign in history, 2.4 million volunteers and counting. I just don't see how they think they can make this up.
You know, here's what gets me. The reaction to the town hall on NBC. So, look, Biden will be doing the town hall on ABC. NBC invited the president to do a town hall, and he's graciously accepted. But the outrage from the media and from actually NBC workers, you don't hear them complaining. It's okay for Joe Biden to have a town hall, but God forbid this president be given airtime.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just it's the swamp. It's the D.C. media elite who are trying to suppress not only this president, but also his supporters. And, you know, thank goodness that that a bunch of Hollywood elites whose greatest gift is that they can impersonate somebody else who's done something in life. Thank God they don't run the news division.
Well said. All right. Well, Mark, we're going to let you get back to it. Sounds like y'all are having a good time down in Miami. Tell the vice president we said hello.
I will do so, Todd. Talk to you soon.
All right. Mark Lauder, folks. It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, he raises a pretty good point. I mean, back in the day, it was always believe the polls, don't believe the yard signs. But I don't think that's the case anymore. I truly don't. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. So Rosalind in Michigan was on the program earlier this week, bringing us up to speed on some concerns she had about the ballot. Rosalind, I understand you have an update for us.
Oh, yeah, it's still really bad. I thought yesterday it had finally gotten resolved after going round and round with their deputy clerk over there at the township, that they didn't want to have to go to the state if I didn't have to. I wanted to see if I could resolve it that way. Well, it's not resolved. And what I found out after I talked to the state is that Michigan's really offers nothing for people like me that are housebound, that cannot in any way ever go to the township hall to pick up a ballot or to vote or anything. They did not. They said that they mailed me one. I still have no idea if that's true because of other things they told me that were clearly lies. But let's say they did. So they're saying it's the post office. So what I found out from the state, though, is that nobody in your family can ever pick up a ballot for you. You have to pick it up in person, or you have to wait for it to come through the mail. I even offered to get FedEx out there to and pay for them to bring it to me. That they would not allow. And so there is nothing, and they're telling me that if I don't get that ballot in time through the mail system, and this would be the third one that they're sending me, and the other two I never got, the one in for the primary and now the one for this election. So they're, as far as they're concerned, I'm just out of luck.
Roslyn, you know, I would recommend that you contact your local Republican Party. Let them know what's going on here. Something certain, there's shenanigans. Shenanigans are going on. And it's important for the local Republicans to know about that so they can take action. You may not be able to, but they've got the connections. So I would encourage you to reach out to those folks. And Roslyn, thank you for the call, and thank you for the update. That goes for the rest of you, too. If you see shenanigans, contact your local Republican office. There is a situation here in Memphis. Someone last night on Twitter sent me some photographs. Early voting is underway. Apparently, there are a lot of elderly people that can't get out of their cars, so they got some kid wandering around, a 16-year-old, collecting the ballots. That is clearly not legal. And not a soul is doing anything about it. As a matter of fact, the local TV station, those people, incredible morons, because they're thinking it's a great thing. Oh, isn't that so wonderful? Look at that little teenager going car to car, picking up the ballots for the elderly people so they don't have to get out of their cars. Doesn't it make you just feel so, so great about the future of America with young? No, it doesn't. The guy's probably some sort of a Democrat operative. taking the elderly Republican votes and tossing them in the Mississippi River. I'm telling you, folks, there's some shenanigans going on around here. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free number, 844-747-8868. If you have a crazy ballot story, we'll take those as well. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio show. Yeah, so this guy, Doug Beglet, you know what it was? Some guy from Memphis shared it. It wasn't the Memphis media. They were the wrong morons. These are the Houston media morons. And this guy named Doug Beglet, who is a transportation writer for the Houston Chronicle, wrote this, and there's a photograph of a 16-year-old. Donovan Robinson, age 16, won't be eligible to vote until 2022, but spent his morning helping elderly and disabled voters cast ballots from their cars. Okay, is that legal? Can you really cast a ballot? No, you cannot cast a ballot from your car. Good Lord. All right, let's go to the phones. Tony, listening to us on The Talk Station, Jacksonville, North Carolina. Hi, Tony, what's going on?
Well, I'm concerned with right now that these people don't understand what socialism is and how, in many cases, it converts to communism completely once they get a hold of you. But I'm a veteran and of Vietnam, and I've talked to several American Vietnamese people. And the Cubans and Argentinians, and I heard on your radio station that they're down. So our people are down in Florida, a bunch of people, and that there's many from Argentina and from the other one,
Cuba.
They need to go on TV. I hope somebody's listening to this that's tied in with the Trump's team. Put them on TV to explain to these idiots what's going to happen if Biden wins. They don't know. They just have no concept. I'm old enough to have seen it in our history, but they've done away with history too. So, and the other thing I just want to say, are you still there?
Tony, I am listening to every single word you're saying.
Okay. We need to wise them up that that's what's going to happen immediately. Look what's happened to Fox. Somebody bought out Fox, and I sit there listening to equal time with some of these idiots that don't even make sense talking against Trump and everything else. They're getting equal time on the only station we had, other than you nice radio people, that it's getting polluted with their... they're baloney.
Tony, let me explain. Let me jump in here for a second. And I just want to say thank you. First of all, thank you for your service, and thank you for putting yourself on the front lines of defending our nation. A couple of things here. First of all, Fox wasn't bought out. They sold out. They're under the same ownership, but they sold out. They decided, and they've got so many liberals working at Fox News Channel right now, and I'm talking about the writers and the producers and the assistant producers. They're all flaming leftists. They are products of the public education system and the Ivy League schools. I lost count of how many people went to Harvard and Yale working at Fox News Channel right now. That network is lost, and it's only going to get more liberal. That there's just no way around it. The other part of what you had to say, Tony, is so true. We do need to hear from people from Argentina and Cuba and Venezuela. And we have had some of those individuals on this talk show to explain to the American people, hey, you better wake up because these people escaped what we are about to embrace as a country. Now, Tony, I want to ask you a question. You've been around the block a time or two. You've seen all of this. What concerns you if Biden, in fact, wins the election?
I will not be able to continue living because their idea of health programs will not work for me. I have a son-in-law that works for the government. He's an engineer, and they sent him to Australia, and they met a nice lady at lunch down there that said that her mother is dead because of the socialist health thing. The committee met and decided that she didn't deserve to get a simple operation. It would have saved her life. And they came back. They were into listening to socialism, my daughter and son-in-law. But she's my stepdaughter, and her birth father was a professor at a local college here in this area, and he got into her head. He's on socialism big time. I can't believe he was an officer in the Navy, but he was into it big time, and he got her all mixed up in her head.
Unfortunately, Tony, hang tight because we're going to have to we're coming up against a break here, but we're going to have to let you go. I appreciate you calling in. I want you to give us a call back because you're a wealth of knowledge here. But folks, listen to what Tony had to say. 77-year-old veteran, he knows what he's talking about. Got to wake up here. By the way, we've got that video. We've got the Twitter photo of that teenager taking the ballots from the elderly and disabled people. We got that up on the Alive Show blog. You got to check that out and read the comments.
Oh, what a nice boy. What a nice boy. What a good American.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well wherever you might be. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, our live show blog up and running, and we would encourage you to check out all of the great information there. Avery has compiled most of the stories we're talking about, the surveys, all that information. We've compiled it there for you, so it's sort of one-stop shopping. So look, before we bring on our next guest, the confirmation hearing's underway. Laura Wolk, by the way, the first blind Supreme Court law clerk, was on our show yesterday. She's among those testifying today. But Kamala Harris has raised a very important issue, and probably the most important pressing issue that should ever be addressed with the Supreme Court. Let's take a listen.
Climate change, as many have mentioned, is an existential threat, and its effects are all around us. In California, we've had 5 of the 6 largest wildfires in the state's history. 31 people have been killed by wildfires in California since August alone, including at least 2 firefighters and a helicopter pilot. Across the state, over 9,000 homes and structures have been burned, and Californians have been forced to breathe dangerous smoke. All of this, obviously, during a pandemic which attacks the respiratory system. But rather than work to combat climate change, the Trump administration has rolled back environmental protections and removed the term climate change from government agency websites, including the EPA. In 2007, in Massachusetts versus
okay,
EPA,
just stop that, please. Let me get to the part of the audio that I wanted to hear. Kamala Harris, do you accept smoking causes cancer? Judge Barrett, not sure where you're going with this. Senator Harris, the question is what it is. You can answer it if you please, as you know. So Kamala Harris, a sitting United States senator, wants to know whether or not Judge Barrett believes that smoking causes cancer. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people? Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a friend of this program, Gail Trotter, she is an attorney. You also see her on Fox News Channel. Gail, apparently, according to Kamala Harris, this is the most pressing issue facing America.
I am so happy to be with you, and I was so disappointed that Kamala Harris did not cheer the extraordinary accomplishments of Judge Barrett. And when you think about women helping women, this would be a perfect opportunity for Senator Harris to praise the integrity and the accomplishments, particularly in the legal stratosphere of Judge Barrett. But instead, like you just pointed out, she asked Judge Barrett what she thought about smoking and cancer, and you heard similar ridiculous questions from the other Senate Democrats. And I thought a major plank of the Democrat Party was giving women a seat at the table to applaud them for their accomplishments. And Judge Barrett is such a role model for, I think, all Americans, but particularly young women who want to be accomplished not only in their faith and their family, but also in their professional lives. And so it was a real failure for Senator Harris to engage in this kind of wackadoodle questioning of Judge Barrett instead of taking this opportunity to commend her.
And yet, Gail Trotter from Fox News, and yet the left and people like Senator Kamala Harris consider family and they consider faith to be detrimental to one's career and to one's career, especially in public service. And I think that's unfortunate because, honestly, I don't think I've ever seen someone so brilliant and competent being put on the Supreme Court. She has just done a phenomenal job over the past several days.
She has, and I think many lawyers like me were watching her intense many hours of questioning with the senators who had these, you know, vast notebooks and staff to prepare them and very calculated questions that they were asking her, putting her on the spot. And many lawyers like me recalled being a young law student and being cold called by the law professors who were just trying to trip you up and embarrass you to make a point. And Judge Barrett acquitted herself so well with all of these extremely difficult questions designed to trip her up. And it was like a masterclass in how to do one of these Senate hearings. And I think we saw all these posters of the people that the Senate Democrats wanted to elicit compassion for. And Judge Barrett's entire life speaks volumes of compassion. And her children sitting there and having to listen to some of the attacks on their mother and from the Democrat allies in the mainstream media about Judge Barrett's family, about her reasoning for adopting 2 children from the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and about her choices to be an excellent professional, too. I think all of that really came down to when Senator Graham asked, sitting here at this hearing, why did you accept this nomination? And she said, I knew it would be difficult. Anybody who watched the confirmation hearings of Judge Bork, Judge Thomas, Judge Kavanaugh knows that that is an excruciating, excruciating experience. And she said she didn't want to be cowardly. She didn't want to, if the only thing holding her back was the difficulty, she didn't want to not do it, not serve her country because of the difficulty. And I just think that is the kind of public service that we need as an example in our country right now.
Well said. Gail, I mean, looking, you know, she's going to be confirmed. That's going to happen. But looking ahead, what kind of a legacy, what kind of an impact do you believe that President Trump is going to leave on the federal judiciary?
Oh, it is so outstanding. And she spoke so well to that during her hearing. The idea that we are ruled by law and not by men, and that she is going to follow this very basic understanding that judges should not put their personal policy preferences into their decisions on the bench. And I think it was Senator Hawley or maybe it was Senator Graham who asked this pivotal question and said, at the end of your life, when you're enjoying your grandchildren and you're no longer on the bench, how are you going to determine whether you did a good job as a judge or a justice? And she had just such an excellent answer. And was she faithful to the Constitution? Did she uphold the rule of law? Did she treat everybody she interacted with integrity and with respect? And I think we definitely need more of that in our federal judiciary. And so that is going to be the best legacy of President Donald Trump. Candidate Donald Trump made that commitment, and he has followed through. And I think that's why you're going to see a lot of reluctant 2016 Trump voters become enthusiastic 2020 Trump voters.
Well, I certainly hope so. Gail, we're going to have to leave it there. Gail Trotter, great attorney, Fox News Channel contributor. Gail, thank you.
Great to be with you, Todd.
All right. By the way, President Trump wrapping up that big gathering in Greenville, North Carolina, heading down to Miami tonight for the big Trump town hall on NBC. What are you going to do, folks? Are you going to watch? Who do you watch? Do you watch Biden? Do you watch Trump? Are you back and forth? What do you do? That's a tough one. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, we just had a military veteran on the program, and a lot of military veterans are not able to or have not been able to finish their college education. Maybe some of you guys have not even started your college education. Maybe you are a police officer or a firefighter, paramedic, and man, you know, you're working around the clock to pay the bills. You don't have the opportunity to go to school in a traditional school setting. So what do you do? Well, my good friends at Liberty University have figured out a solution to that, and it's an exclusive offer just for listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program. So here's what's happening. Liberty University is actually offering incredible discounts and flexibility for service members, veterans, and spouses of veterans to go back to school and get your degree. And it's not just your undergraduate, but also your graduate degree. This is a terrific opportunity. Get this. And if you're a firefighter, police officer, paramedic, you get a 25% flat tuition discount. And this is pretty spectacular stuff. All you have to do is text the following information. So go ahead and write this down. Text Starnes USA to 49595. That's Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S. That's my last name, by the way. Starnes USA to 49595. And you say, well, Todd, I don't know if I want to go back to school, but I'm interested. Well, you know, that's okay. All you got to do is text them. And somebody from Liberty, they're very nice people over there, they're going to give you a call back and hook you up with all the information you need to either A, start your degree program or complete your degree. And I think that's a terrific thing. One more time, write it down, Starnes USA to 49595.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, just a little homework today. We need you to call the Capitol switchboard, and you got to let them know that you want them to investigate and get to the bottom of this censorship over at Facebook and Twitter. It's just unacceptable. And there needs to be a price to pay for meddling in a presidential election. And I know that Congressman Ken Buck out of Colorado has already demanded a Justice Department investigation. We have Senators Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, among others, who are calling for the FEC, that's the Federal Elections Commission, to investigate. So you need to call your elected leaders and let them know where you stand on this. All right, let's go to Arkansas. John, listening to us on KARN. John, I hear you called the switchboard. What happened?
Well, Senator Wicker's aide answered the phone and very tersely told me that it's, quote, only been a month and we won't get to it for a year.
Is that right? So this is Senator Hayes Wicker.
Roger Wicker.
Roger Wicker. All right, Roger Wicker.
He has not done the nominee hearings or anything, and they don't plan on doing it for a year.
You know, it's always kicking the can down the road with these people, John, isn't it?
It sure is. I don't see why the FCC cannot act without the new nominee if they put enough pressure on them. This has to stop because, you know, I've had several posts up here that I've copied from your Star and Friends, and they've been pulled down right away, especially the New York Post deal. And we got to do something about this censorship. And if Senator Wicker isn't ready to do it, they need to turn it over to someone that will.
John, you're absolutely right. And that is something that is going to require all of us picking up the phone and demanding, you know what, call them back and say, you know what, we don't need a year. It needs to be handled right now. We've got an election coming up, and we don't want Facebook, we don't want Twitter meddling and trying to collude with the Democrats to fix this election. It's just unacceptable.
Well, Senator Wicker's out of Georgia, and I know several of his constituents, and I'm contacting them. And I told him I would do that, you know, his aide. And he said, well, you shouldn't do that. And I said, I will.
I think it's Mississippi. But you're right. You're right. Got to do it. Got to do it. All right. Hey, John, thank you for calling in. And thank you for taking the time to pick up the phone and call the Capitol switchboard. That's what it's going to take, every single one of us working together. So good job, sir. Roger Wicker, Mississippi, Georgia. You got Purdue. And you got Kelly Loeffler. Those are the U.S. senators. I'm trying to do my homework. After I got discombobulated, I normally don't forget these senators, but I forgot John Kennedy out of Louisiana. That's not a good thing. By the way, I'm heading out this afternoon. I always do a little walk around the park there in Memphis. It's good to keep the blood pressure up and, you know, don't get mugged. You got to outpace the muggers. And I was watching, I like the technology stuff, and, you know, you got the new iPhone coming out, but Bose, which has like the stereo system, and it's a terrific stereo system. I got one because Paul Harvey used to talk about Bose stereo speakers all the time back in the day. And so finally I'm like, I got to get a Bose. And so I've got one, and it's amazing. But the problem is it's so amazing that back in New York, the neighbors, you know, would complain because I'd be watching the movie with the Bose and, you know, it's loud. I like that surround sound. So anyway, Bose has something brand new, and I've never heard of this. They actually are building the audio into sunglass frames. This is amazing. And so it's called the Bose Frames Tempo. Have you heard about this, guys? This is fascinating. So you get the it's ear audio, so you can hear the music and your surroundings at the same time without having to wear something in your ear. This is really fascinating. And the sunglasses look really cool as well. It's called the Bose Frames Tempo. I'm curious if you have some of these. I'm anxious to hear how, because my only concern with something like that, Grace Baker and Avery Bryson, is that you don't get that good crystal clear sound.
Yeah, I think it would be like you would hear cars on the street and your music at the same time. It just wouldn't be great sound quality. When I got my car, which is an old person's car, as I call it.
Wait, what? An old person? What is it,
a
Buick?
It's an old Lincoln. So, you know, but it was an old person's car. But I was like, I need a new stereo. So I got a stereo for it. My dad so graciously installed it. And I love that stereo. It is the best thing in that car for me. So, I mean, those glasses sound cool, though. It would be nice not to have to wear the annoying earbuds. So you could be out on a run and you could have your sunglasses on. And protects you from the sun, but also hear great noise, too.
Nothing in your ears or on your ears.
Exactly.
But you can still hear it. This is fascinating. So
I want to know how that works.
I've seen a whole bunch of these sort of headphones and stuff like that. I believe like on Amazon. I just looked it up on Amazon because I wanted to be sure I was saying it correctly, but they're called bone headphones or something like that. And basically what you're doing is you're like setting those types of headphones near your temples, so you know that's where some of your facial bones are and stuff like that, and so you can feel and hear the vibrations of whatever you're trying to listen to.
You feel it in the bones.
Yeah, exactly. And I've tried them out because one of my friends has a pair of them, and I've tried them out, and it's a really weird experience. You can because it literally sounds like whatever, you know, you're listening to, say you're listening to, like, you know, some sort of music on your phone or whatever. It literally sounds like it's they're whoever you're listening to is performing right in your room. So it's really weird, but a very cool experience.
And that's, you know, and that is, that really was the problem back in New York, because, you know, before the China virus outbreak, everybody was wandering around, listening to the earbuds. Nobody cared about their surroundings. But the problem now is you got to worry about, you know, hey, is somebody coming up behind me and going to hit me on the head with a baseball bat? And so with something like this, you're able to hear the person coming up behind you with the baseball bat before they knock you upside the head.
That should be the slogan for whatever they're calling these. You can hear the person coming up behind you with the baseball bat.
Before you'll be able to hear death as it's coming. So
there you go. Listening to some great music while you're at it.
There you go. All right. Very nice. All right. The Bose. If you've heard of these and if you've got a pair, I'm very curious. It's like $200 and something, $250. So I don't want to spend that much if it's not all that great. But all right, folks, got to scoot out of here. Been a good day. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. This is the Todd Stern Show.